Good friendships positively influence our mental health. So says Mental Health Charity ahead of International Day of Friendships. The Mental Health Charity is Turn to Me, and its Chief Executive Officer joins me now. She is Fiona O'Malley. Good morning, Fiona.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome indeed. Now, first of all, International Day of Friendships. When is that happening?
This Saturday. And we're emphasising that having close and healthy friendships are extremely important, particularly when we're dealing with life challenges. And a lot of research will show the benefits of friendship to your mental health. So that's something definitely to celebrate ahead of Saturday.
All right. It's tomorrow, of course, indeed, and very important, as you say, when dealing with life's challenges. And we all like to have friends. Turn to them in times of need, and that you have listed six ways that having close friends can benefit our mental health. It's on your website, which is turntome.ie, the two being the number two, with the first one being it increases, having friends or friendship increases our sense of belonging.
So as humans, we are social creatures. We like engagement and interaction with others and the sense of belonging to a group. And when people feel outside the friendship groups, that can trigger feelings of anxiety or exclusion. So having a healthy group of friends is really important for making us feel adequate, like we are belonged and that we're worthy of love. So having a strong sense of belonging is crucial for our mental health, especially when we're going through difficult periods, like maybe battling depression or heightened anxieties.
And not surprisingly, you find that spending time with friends increases happiness.
Yes, absolutely. So spending time with good friends is wonderful because you can do fun things together that you enjoy. Presumably people have, you know, common interests with their circle of friends. And a lot of people would experience banter and lively, uplifting moments with friends. So if you probably think of the happiest times that you have, it's likely that a lot of them would be with close friends.
And I suppose if it increases happiness, it's all the more important in that it decreases feeling down. And in particular, having friends helps us deal with one of the afflictions of modern society, stress.
Yes, absolutely. So everyday stresses of life can be eased by good friends. So when life gets a little bit more challenging, a little bit more difficult, friends are there for us. They can act as a buffer between us and the stress. And that old saying, a problem shared is a problem halved, talking to a friend, a trusted friend about your day can really lift some of the weight off your shoulders.
And speaking of coping, item number four on your list of how friendship helps is coping with trauma.
Good friends and true friends are there for us in our time of need, and they can offer a shoulder to cry on or just to listen to when we need them to. Traumatic events happen through everyone's lives, and friends are the ones who can help us cope and, I suppose, lead the way through those difficult and hard times. And research shows that people who have good, strong friendships find it harder to cope with traumatic events or the loss of a job or a relationship or a loved one. So friends are really important for coping with trauma and grief.
It's amazing the amount of goodwill that can come out towards you. When I mentioned on the programme yesterday morning that I had suffered a bereavement with my younger brother in the last 10 days, the listeners just came forward in droves in terms of, it was actually so reassuring and so uplifting. Number five, friends can give advice on healthy behaviours, and I suppose the corollary of that is true on unhealthy behaviours as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sometimes when we're in a situation, it can be difficult to see the wood from the trees, and our friends see our behaviours more clearly than we can, and they can be a little bit more objective. So they can sometimes speak to you when they're concerned about unhealthy social behaviours that you're having, like if you're going out too much, if you're drinking too much, if you're in a toxic relationship, if you're isolating yourself, or if you're not getting out of the house enough. They can help you. They can see maybe what you're doing from an objective point of view, and then they can kind of maybe give you that nudge to either, you know, get out of that toxic relationship, or maybe to cut down on your drinking, or maybe to just join them for a hike or a long walk or something. So they're definitely good because they care about you, but they are also that bit more objective because they're not in the situation themselves.
I'm particularly interested in number six about how friendship can help us live longer.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So research research shows that having strong, good friendships and social support may actually not only improve your quality of life, but it can also increase how long you live. Our emotional and our physical health is boosted when we have more social interactions and strong relationships in our lives. So the moral of the story and the thing that we're emphasising ahead of International Day of Friendship tomorrow is that it's really important to, first of all, have good, strong friendships, but secondly, to hold on to those good friendships because they really do make a positive difference to our mental health and to our lives.
It has fundamentally a great, great importance in people's lives. And your charity Turn to Me, tell me a little about that.
So it was founded in 2009 and it stemmed from the very personal and the tragic experiences of Oisín and Dermot Scollard, who very sadly lost their brother Cormac to suicide. So they created a charity that would offer people free professional mental health services 365 days a year. We have the support of the HSE's National Office for Suicide Prevention and we've teamed up with Reach Out Ireland to help create and deliver counselling online. So we offer three different services. We offer free one-to-one counselling. We offer free support groups on anxiety, grief, depression and relationship issues. They run every day at 6 o'clock. And we also have another service called a Thought Catcher, which is like an online mood diary. And that runs every day from 2 p.m. until 8 p.m. as well. And that's funded by the HSE's National Office for Suicide Prevention. So we're there to help everyone in Ireland, and we, you know, would really emphasise if anyone's feeling a bit down, if they're feeling like they're having a particularly anxious period or a period of depression, to please reach out to our services because they're free, they're accessible, they're available 365 days a year. And if people want to avail of our services, they can go to our website, which is turntome.ie. That's turn digit 2 me.ie.
And that's fantastic. That's so amazing that these services are free from Turn to Me and that you have joined forces with Reach Out Ireland, as you said, to create that space for young people to support their mental health.
So as of September 2021, we offer adult counselling and peer support services to everyone over the age of 12. And I suppose one of the strengths of Turn to Me and probably what makes us a little bit different from some other organisations is that we have no waiting lists for our support groups and for our thought catchers. So, you know, some people, if they can get professional mental health services, there can be long waiting lists. We've heard of some waiting lists being up to 2 years for mental health services in Ireland, and that's obviously no good for someone who's in distress or who is feeling heightened anxiety. So we would encourage people, if they're feeling like they need any support at all, please reach out to our services and use them and engage with them, because that's what they're there for. And as I said, they're run by mental health professionals who have a wealth of experience in the sector.
Do you know that it couldn't be more timely or more coincidental that you have joined us to tell us about this wonderful service on the programme this morning? Just in the first hour of the programme, we heard from Sinn Féin TD Patricia Ryan. We had a wonderful counselling service here in County Kildare, Hope D, it's called, for years and years and years, to where people could find refuge and help and counselling and support. And regrettably, it's now closing down. And that's due to a lack of support from the powers that be, etc., etc. So it's wonderful that you've been on to profile your service. Turn to Me, free services for everyone over 12. Tomorrow is International Friendship Day. On the more serious meaning of that, it's about mutual support. All of us to reach out and support for each other. And the website again is, Fiona?
Turntome.ie.
And CEO of the organisation is Fiona O'Malley.
Thank you, and thank you very much for having me and for the opportunity to speak to your listeners. I really appreciate it.
I'm obviously getting a bit deluded there because Patricia Ryan is coming up in a couple of minutes' time, not in the earlier part of the programme. But we're going to turn our attention to next. What are your rights if purchases go wrong? And indeed, if you want to switch accounts and stuff like that from the Consumer Protection Commission, they and keep your requests or dedications for the. If you want to just send special greetings to anybody for the long weekend or you have a special occasion or whatever, you can always WhatsApp us here or text us 0833 97 97 97, or you can email studio@kfmradio.com. And Michael Coleman actually has been in touch. Councillor Michael Coleman has been in touch with us because they're having a bit of a festival in Selbridge on Monday. It's the Selbridge Street Fest. If anybody's looking for some entertainment and activity on the main street in Selbridge, it's taking place there on Bank Holiday Monday across the day. Fun day for all the family, says Michael, who's a Fianna Fáil councillor in the area, often contributes to the programme here. Live music, Punch and Judy show, Billy Bubbles, a magic show, stalls, giant bouncy castle area, children's bouncy castle area with mini fun area. There'll be music on the main stage with the likes of Sina Teal and the band, Serena and the Sykes. There's a side stage with various artists. It all starts at 2 p.m. and will continue until 7 p.m. on Monday. And there'll be a street closure between 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. as you would expect. So that promises a great day in Selbridge. And Michael, thanks very much indeed for the message. A listener makes a point on the WhatsApp in regards to affordable homes and says, if I qualified to buy an affordable house on the affordable housing scheme and was successful in buying such a house, and in later years if we decide to move on, that house should always remain on the affordable house scheme. I'm sure it does. It must. Well, maybe it doesn't actually if you buy it. Could you then, if you get onto a house as an affordable house and you get whatever government subvention is involved in that, can you then put that house after a number of years on the open market and make as much money as you possibly can out of it and then walk away so that, in effect, it's no longer an affordable home in an affordable scheme? Interesting point indeed, and we'll come back to that, I'm sure, in the coming days and weeks as well. Now, the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, for short, the CCPC, is the statutory body responsible for promoting compliance with and enforcing competition and consumer protection law in Ireland. They work on our behalf as consumers across the economy to enforce over 40 legislative pieces, including product safety legislation. And to tell us more about the work they do, and in particular in regards to some aspects of it, Director of Communications, Competition and Consumer with the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission is Gráinne Griffin. And good morning to you, Gráinne.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Now, that's an overview in terms of what you do in regards to that. You have, of course, you deal with different aspects in your site, from housing to cars, how to complain, shopping, money, tools, product safety, contract services, moving bank. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first of all, in terms of people's rights, more and more people are buying online. Given over the last 3 years, the pandemic and that, and people often buy goods, and there's a lot of confusion around the whole Brexit area as well, because now when you're buying on a website, are you buying from Britain, a British register? You know where I'm coming from here.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, people have switched to online buying during the pandemic, and they're not going to go back. Like, going to remain a really, really popular option. But you do need to be careful when you're shopping online. Like, there's things that you can do when you're browsing to make sure that the sale is more likely to go through or you're less likely to have issues. So,
all right, let's break it down for you. So we know about Brexit, we'll come back to in a minute, because we have to be very careful that if you buy online now from a British registered website, that can attract far different customs charges than if you're buying from an EU within the EU. In the first place, when you're buying goods, how do we guarantee, or how do guarantees and warranties work? Have we the same rights online as if I walk in the door of a shop?
You've got stronger rights online. So across the EU, you've got much stronger rights when you buy online. And those rights are given to you for a reason, because you don't have the opportunity to pick up the goods the way you do in a shop. Like, have a look at it, see, is this really what I want? Like, for example, with clothes, you don't have the opportunity to try them on in advance to make sure they fit. So when you buy something online, you'll always be able to send it back. Like, just change your mind. There doesn't have to be anything wrong with it, and you can just send it back. Now, you do have to pay for the return postage, unless it's offered as a kind of a bonus by the company. But you have 14 days after it arrives to make up your mind about whether or not you want to keep it and let the company know. And then you have a further 14 days to get it in the post and get it back to them and to get a full refund.
And what if it's faulty?
If it's faulty, your rights just get stronger. So if it's faulty, you're not the time isn't limited. Like, the time frames can run for years in some cases. Now, it depends on the extent of the fault and when it came out. But really, if it's faulty, you go back to the company as soon as the fault emerges, and they should cover the cost of return postage.
Let me combine both aspects of what we've just talked about there, that if you get something and you're not happy with it and you send it back, I want my money back. Or if you get something and it's faulty and you send it back, I want my money back. How do you actually get your money back? And what happens if the company is being, let's put it kindly, being very, very slow in refunding your money, or maybe even refusing?
So they have to send the money back the same way as you paid. So it's not okay, for example, if you paid with your debit card, for them to say, oh, we'll send you a cheque. That's not okay. They have to pay you back the same way as you paid, and they have to do it promptly. So that you do expect to get your money back within 14 days.
And if they don't, where do you go then? Is it to yourselves?
If they don't, well, the first instance, we always say start with a complaint to the business, and that will resolve an awful lot of problems usually. So you start with a complaint and you say, look, this is the problem, this is what's happened, I want my money back. And if they don't come back with the money then, what you can do is you can go to the small claims court. And they cover claims up to €2,000, and they take applications for businesses all across the EU. And you can look to get your money back through that system.
What if the shop has closed or the business is gone?
If the business is closed down, it really can be very difficult to get your money back. Because what happens when a business closes down is there's a list of all the people who are owed money created, and they're put in a certain order. And consumers who've bought goods are not at the top of the list. People like the workers who need to be paid and stuff like that are at the top of the list. The revenue are quite close to the top, I think. So it does mean that if a company has closed down, it can be very difficult to get your money back.
Yeah, the revenue are absolutely at the top of the chain, I'll tell you. It's first in to claim back anything they're owed. And then after that, it can be banks and stuff like that where guarantees are offered. There is, of course, a big generational gap here that we're talking about, which I'll come to in just a moment. Finally, just tell me something about the whole area of gift vouchers and how they work.
Well, the thing with gift vouchers is you have much stronger rights than you did a few years ago. And I think a lot of people really did appreciate those rights during COVID and during the pandemic. Because now when you buy a gift voucher, it has to be valid for at least 5 years. So in the past, you might have found that people bought vouchers that maybe expired after 12 months or something. And, you know, you might put it away after Christmas, forget about it, and never spend it. Whereas now, like, gift vouchers do last for a lot longer. So you do have the right to use them for up to 5 years, or for as long as it says on the gift voucher. Some of them now don't have durations on them at all.
Are they still allowed to deduct? You know, if you don't, some of them have this thing, if you don't spend within 12 months, or if the card is older than 12 months, they start deducting €3 a month off your money. Can they still do that?
There can be charges allowed in some cases. And the other thing that we often hear about from people is people ask us about cards that maybe aren't gift vouchers. So gift vouchers are vouchers that are for like a specific shop. But you also have these kind of gift cards that are like you can spend them anyway, anywhere. And they're actually electronic money vouchers. They're not actually covered by your consumer rights. They're covered by the central bank, like a one for all gift card. And they are allowed to deduct those maintenance fees.
Yeah, just one final maybe specific question. If something is priced at £29.99, whether, you know, online or indeed, well, particularly online and that. And then I find that when I get my invoice or whatever else, I'm billed with extra charges. Is that allowed, or is it a case of I didn't read the small print that there could be extra charges levied?
Well, the business needs to make it really, really clear if there's any extra charges that are going to be levied. And you need to be told either exactly how much they are, or if they don't know exactly, you need to be told how it's going to be calculated. So say, for example, if you were buying something from the UK and taxes and charges might have been applied, they don't always know how much they're going to be in some cases, but they need to tell you that they're going to be charged and how they'll be calculated. So that's really important, and that's a very strong obligation on businesses.
And on that note of the UK, by the way, a lot of people are caught on the hop because they buy from websites and don't realise whether they think maybe that EU rules apply, but not necessarily so. Now, I know many British companies are kind of registering websites within the EU in order that people can buy under EU rules. But don't consumers have to be very, very careful that if you're going onto a website, that if it is not covered by EU guarantees, well, then it could attract much, much different regulations and charges?
The first thing you need to do with any website is really kind of dig into the small print and see where exactly is this company based. And it's not enough to just look at the address and see .ie at the end of it. A company can have a .ie address just to indicate that they ship to Ireland, that they deal with Irish customers. But it doesn't mean that they're based in Ireland. It doesn't necessarily even mean that they're based within the EU.
And how can I do that? How can I detect?
We generally say go down to the bottom of the screen and there's usually like a terms and conditions or a contact section, and go into that and look for an actual address, like what country is this business based. And if it's based in the UK, I mean, if they have a .ie website, the likelihood is that they'll ship to you without you being affected by the taxes and charges. But I suppose the thing is, if anything goes wrong, it's much harder to follow up with a business if it's based in the UK than it is to follow up with a business that's based in Ireland or the EU. Like I mentioned earlier on, you can just go down to the small claims court no matter where the business is based in the EU. You can't go down to the small claims court and lodge a case against a UK business. So even when they have the taxes and charges and everything sorted out, even when it's a seamless process getting posted over to you here, it's still worth bearing in mind that your consumer rights are just not as strong when you buy for the UK. So if you're buying something, like maybe something very expensive, like TV or a laptop, you know, you could be spending hundreds, even over €1,000 on it. It's worth thinking about buying from an EU supplier instead.
Right. I was going to talk to you, and with your permission, I think we'll have you back in the coming week or so sometime, because I want to talk to you as well in regards to the whole area of switching banks, because I know this is causing a lot of concern at the moment with KBC and Ulster Bank departing the market, that a lot of people are still haven't done what's required in terms of, particularly if you have a current account with any of these banks. I know that you have, in the CCPC, published a current account switching research and guidance for consumers, but rather than fly through it now, Grainne, we'd love to have you back maybe in the next few days or so, maybe to talk specifically about that, and any other issues that were reminded above. And particularly, I noticed one on your website as well, what are my rights if my luggage is lost or delayed? And certainly, there are tens of thousands of people at the moment who are scratching their heads in regards to where's my luggage gone at various airports. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
With you?
Absolutely. We'd love to come back.
Lovely. And thank you. Director of Communications, Competition and Consumer Protection Commission. That's Grainne Griffin. And certainly we will have Grainne back in the next couple of days to talk about those various aspects of the CCPC. Their website, by the way, it's very easy. You can find out all the information we've been talking about on their website, which is ccpc.ie. Now, I'm going to move along, and thanks to Grainne for that particular one indeed. Quick message, Clem, I was very disappointed, says a listener, yesterday when I was told I can't open a bank account in a Thai for my grandchildren, a 4-year-old and 2-year-old. When I asked why, I was told too many parents are using it against paying tax. I have a bank account. I'm just wondering, what's that about? I have a bank account for my almost 12-year-old grandchild, but I wanted one for the other, just a little something, maybe towards third level. Right, can you help me with this? I'll tell you what, Mary, we'll take up that with Grainne maybe on the other side of the weekend. I'm not sure now, she might would be back with us Tuesday, but maybe if she's back Tuesday, we might take up that whole idea, and it would give us an opportunity as well maybe to look into the whole idea of opening bank accounts for children and why you might have been told that there are concerns around, you know, avoiding tax. I don't understand that, because I'll put it this way to you. If you have money in your bank account, providing you're not money laundering, of course, or that you haven't robbed the bank, I'm presuming that this money has come through your wages or whatever else, and that you have paid PAYE and all the other charges that go with it, universal charges and everything else that go with it as well. So therefore, that money is net in your account. You have discharged, unless you're in business, of course, and you're doing end-of-year tax paying. But I don't see why setting up the account separately might cause a tax concern from within the bank. But I'd need to talk to somebody behind the bank account about that before we proceed on it. So thanks. I will follow up for you. Patricia Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, Ken. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Patricia. Thank you for your message yesterday. Patricia Ryan is Sinn Féin TD for Kildare South. Now, Patricia, we were talking a while ago with Fiona O'Malley, CEO of the Turn to Me charity, which provides free counselling, and I was delighted to hear it, and I remarked during it about how we'd be talking to you. In fact, I got a bit mixed up and said we'd be talking to you earlier or whatever. But anyway, on that, what has happened with Hope D? Why has it been closed?
Well, I suppose the main thing that has happened with Hope D is it's not getting funding. And I suppose the reality here is Hope D was set up in 2003. So it's 20 years running, and it has had no funding from government. And as we all know, costs have gone up and the cost of living has gone up. And like everything else, their costs have gone up as well. So I asked a parliamentary question recently, and I was asked a promised legislation question to on Taoiseach, and I asked him to personally intervene to save the vital life-saving service before it was too late. And he in turn then sent this to Deputy or to Minister Mary Butler. And she came back and she said that the Department of Health no longer has direct funding opportunities for non-governmental organisations, and that the HSE funds a range of service providers under either Section 38 or Section 39, which is basically saying that we could go to Pobl, who provide management and support services programmes for social inclusion and equality and works on behalf of the government. So basically, there's no funding. That's the problem.
Now, we're speaking to Fiona O'Malley. They are HSE funded and they're doing magnificent work and they're offering free counselling and everything else. Hope D was based over in Newbridge, as far as I know. As you say, it's been going for 20 years. Why does the name Seán O'Sullivan come into my head? Was it Seán O'Sullivan was associated with the setting up of it?
Yes, he was associated with setting up.
The setting up originally of it. And have you been contacted by people within Hope D talking to you about this?
I have indeed. And I have to say, last year, myself and Deputy Mary Lou MacDonald and Councillor Noel Connolly visited, along with others, visited the Hope D setup. It's a fantastic, fantastic service.
Describe it briefly for us.
It's like a house, and you go in and they have all different rooms for counselling and meeting people. I met some of those that do the counselling. I met some of the clients. It deals with people, basically, that have any issue around mental health. And we all, at some point in our life, need to look after our mental health, because you and I both know, Clem, if you don't look after your mental health, well, that in turn returns into a mental illness problem. And if you break a bone, you can go and have it addressed. But if you have a mental health situation, it's much more difficult to address that. So that is what these people do. And they have overheads like any other business that need to be addressed. And from the end, to keep them going for the end of this year, they need €40,000 to secure that service.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at their website. Hope D, by the way, for people who are wondering about it, is helping other people escape depression. Now, just can you tell me, because this might have got away from me because of recent events, family events and stuff like that, is it still operating? Or has it actually closed?
No, it's still operating.
Hold on, I can't hear.
It is operating, but it is winding down, and we are told it will wind down in August.
Right. Now, here we have an organisation which is a non-profit charity directly involved with supporting people in County Kildare who might be experiencing any of life's crisis. Set up as far back as 2003. For God's sake, I mean, if Hope D closes down, these people who are helped by Hope D will be flailing around looking for help from the other services that are funded, which are already under enormous pressure and long queues and waiting lists for people to avail of their services.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And while we would have people that would go to the mental health facility at Naas Hospital, which, and I'm not running that down by any means by saying this, but they're given a leaflet along with some tablets if they're lucky. And then the HSC was referring service users back to Hope D, who had no funding from them. So it's absolutely bonkers stuff.
All right, it is. Okay. And so is that the end of the measure in regards to the government's attitude?
Well, it's looking like the HSC have to come back to me, but I'm certainly not leaving it as the end of the measure from my end. I'm certainly going to continue to follow up with the issue with the HSC and fight for the future, hopefully.
All right, it's very, very good. Before I go to get some information from Kira, who's waving at me there. Kira, what have you got?
Yeah, so Clem, I was speaking to Chris Pender when this information came out. He's the chairperson of Hope D. And then just a few weeks later, just last week, he was on with me speaking about saving the service. So he has set up the GoFundMe page, Save Our Service. If you Google that on GoFundMe or search that within the GoFundMe website, their aim is to raise €40,000. That's how much the service will need by the 31st of December to keep running. But as Patricia pointed out, if this service is not saved, it will be closing by the 31st of August. So Chris said he had got a lot of people in touch with him and he wanted to, I guess, give them an avenue to try and save the service. Now, to date, I'd have to double check the figure, but I know the day I had him on, €1,000 had been given by the court services to the charity. But €40,000 is the aim. That's just to keep it open until the 31st of December.
Right. And you can also donate on their website to help them. They have a free phone number, by the way, if anybody wants to contact them. It's 1800 1800 855 834. That's 855 834. Their website is hope-d.com, the dash, the little stroke, hope-d.com. helping other people escape depression. I think it's unconscionable if this service, which has been on the go for 17 years, providing support to those bereaved by suicide who are affected by depression and everything else, if that's let go to the wall just for this fact of the government not funding it anymore, that's just unconscionable. It just does not make sense. And the
Might just add, the counsellors, some of those that give the counselling are doing that of their own free will, like, and they're not getting charged, they don't charge for it. So, like, we really, really need this service in Kildare.
All right.
And I'd like to thank Chris Pender for what he's doing as well.
All right, and thank you, Patricia, as well. I mean, it's a not-for-profit charity. They're not making any money out of it. They only need a bit of money to keep going. So, Kildare people, we all need to step up to the plate here. You can go on their website, hope-d.com, and donate. Or the GoFundMe page again, Kira, who's disappeared.
Yeah, the GoFundMe, Clem, is Save Our Service. If you search GoFundMe in the search bar, I guess, on the GoFundMe website, Save Our Service, and Chris Pender's name, it will come up. And I just was on it a minute ago. And out of the 40,000, they currently have €1,200. And obviously, 40,000 is needed. And 1,000 of that came from the court services.
All right. We need the Kildare people then to get on this and help out with them. Remember, they have a free phone number for anybody who needs support and advice. They're still operating, 1-800-855-534. Or that, if you want it another way, 1-800-855-534. Patricia Ryan, Sinn Féin TD for Kildare South. Keep in touch with us regarding any developments, Patricia.
I will, and thank you very much for the opportunity, Clem.
All right, you're welcome. And that's Patricia Ryan. Thank you for that, Patricia. And indeed, as I said, you can donate on the website or Save Our Services, the GoFundMe page set up by Chris Pender. It's in everyone's interest that this is kept alive. Michael Corcoran has emailed us. Thank you for that, Michael, saying, referring to your discussion of setting up accounts for a daughter or granddaughter or sons or whatever else, Michael says, under income tax regulation, any person can gift €3,000 tax-free each year. And indeed, you are correct on that, Michael. And we will look into that topic further as to why our listener was told that they couldn't set up bank accounts for the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old because of tax implications in regards to that. Now, we were talking about, you know, the work Hope D does and other organisations like Return to Me that we spoke about earlier on the programme this morning, helping people who are under huge pressure and keeping people alive. But lads, It's another bank holiday weekend. And unfortunately and regrettably, the prevailing story of too many bank holiday weekends is the carnage on our roads. I'm joined by Inspector Tony Corcoran, or Tony Connaughton, I beg your pardon, of the Naas Garda Division. Good morning, Tony. And thank you for joining us on the programme this morning. I think my summary is a fair headline, is it not?
Unfortunately so, Clem. We're entering, as you outlined there, the August bank holiday weekend, which is a very, very busy period on our roads. And I suppose a lot of people are entering into their summer breaks and holidays. And with that, there's increased volumes on our road. Now, unfortunately, with those increased volumes come risk. And statistics have shown that it's an increased risk in relation to serious and indeed fatal road traffic collisions. And, you know, an analysis of data, Clem, has shown that there's some interesting statistics out there. It has been shown that between, say, 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock over the bank holiday weekend in the afternoon is actually a high-risk period. And actually, this evening, Friday, between 3 and 6, is regarded as one of the most dangerous periods as there's high volumes on our roads. And it just what we're looking for, Clem, is people, you know, we have an extensive bank holiday operation in place, and which will focus on speed detection and indeed checkpoints for in relation to intoxicating driving. And we're asking people to slow down, basically. Slow down. And there's an interesting concept there, Clem, which the RSA have flown, which is of what they call speed fallacy, which is, you know, a disbelief that by actually speeding, we're saving time. And that's why you see people speeding along the roads in under the illusion they're actually saving some time. But in reality, actually, it's only a couple of minutes, Clem. And in doing that, they're actually putting themselves, their passengers and other road users at risk.
Can I give you a personal experience, by the way, on what you just said there?
Recently,
driving down to Clare and driving back. Now, normally on the motorway, I would keep to the 120, right? The maximum on the motorway. And I get down in a specific time. As an experiment recently, I said, I'm going to drive the whole way at 100 kilometres an hour and not the 120. I think the overall difference in a journey of 110 miles was 7 or 8 minutes.
Well, Clem, that's a perfect, you know, example of what we're talking about there. And I suppose if the listeners can take anything away from our conversation today, is that by actually speeding, you're gaining very, very little.
And I was totally, I was so much more relaxed because I'm driving at a speed on the motorway at 100 that basically, and just put the car in the automatic and whatever else, and nothing like the sort of mad rush that the 120, and I was very pleasantly surprised to see the actual difference. Not to mention, of course, saving vast amounts in terms of petrol and fuel consumption and given the costs. But from the safety perspective, I think that's the message, Tony. You're dead right that everybody needs to get. We're only saving marginal by speeding.
No, it is. And just, I suppose, that the hard facts of this claim is, unfortunately, you know, as of 9 a.m. this morning, there's been 95 people killed on our roads in this country, you know, and that's it's actually up on, and it's the highest, I believe, in the last 10 years. And I suppose, just to maybe focus a little bit more as well, it's worth mentioning, motorcyclists, once again, they're disproportionately represented in those figures. And I think it's nearly up at nearly 20%. Now, motorcyclists, there's two kind of prongs to that. Car users have a responsibility as well to keep a lookout, and motorcyclists are more vulnerable. And motorcyclists themselves have a responsibility to, you know, knock off that speed and be a little bit more careful and ride within their own abilities as well, which is a huge thing, Clem.
All right, there's the clear message, folks, for this weekend. The big message is slow down. Keep your focus on the road. And I always use this term, as I mentioned to Tony in a previous conversation, that it's better to arrive alive and late than dead early. Okay? So the couple of minutes that you will save and the good it will do for your brain and less stress and everything else and a bit of courtesy and patience on the roads. Let's all get back here on Tuesday and not have another story of the carnage on our roads. So stay safe and take care of each other. Inspector Tony Connaughton of the Naas Garda Division. Tony, thanks for your time and that very important message.
Thanks, Clem. Thank you, Clem.
And good morning to you. Now, tomorrow, other matters finally for the weekend. After a couple of weeks of very, very significant and competitive football, we're turning our attention to hurling this weekend. But first of all, let me give you the results from last night's action, which took place in the Intermediate Championship, which I'll do. They were there a couple of minutes ago when I looked anyway. Yeah, the Thursday night results in the old Shebeen, because I emailed them in late last night. And the results last night were Ballymore Eustace 2-12, Kilcullen 1-14, a 1-point win for Ballymore. Carra 1-16, Ellistown 1-5, Nurney 3-9, Milltown 11 points. Those three games played, so that completes the first round of that championship. Now, this weekend, the focus is on the UPMC Hurling Championship, Senior Indeed and Junior, joined by our Senior and Senior B. I'm joined by Tommy Callaghan, Sports Editor of the Leinster Leader. Good morning, Tommy.
Morning, Clem.
Action gets underway tonight, Tommy. Two games. We have it's Maynooth Indeed playing Clane, and that's at 7:30, and then that's followed by Leixlip playing our clock at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, two games in Hawkfield tonight, Clem, as you say there. The first one is Maynooth and Clane. Maynooth back in senior after a gap of a few years. They're going well. They took them a year or two. They threatened to get back into senior championship the last 2 years. They finally made it this year. And they're making their mark. They're going along very well. They beat Kyle Love in their first match, which was a very good result, 3-11 to 2-11. And Clane, their opponents tonight, they lost heavily to Naas. Not unexpected, in fairness, but it was a heavy defeat, 4-32 to 12 points. And I'd imagine you'd have to fancy Maynooth. They're going strong, they're playing well, and they have the bit between their teeth, and I think Maynooth will have too much for Clane.
That's Group A, followed in Group B at 8 o'clock, both these games in Mangard tonight. Our clock against Leixlip. Leixlip lost to Confey last time out.
They did. Leixlip lost to Confey 221 to 120. And on the other hand, our clock lost to Nevers Selbridge, 22 points to 110. I think Leixlip have skipped a fair bit. Our clock mightn't be as strong as they were, but I think they'll have enough to win this one.
All right, Tommy, tomorrow then, who'd envy Kyle Dove in against the champions Naas?
Yeah, listen, I mean, most teams now when they're playing the Naas, it's a matter of trying to keep the score to as respectable as possible. I've no doubt Kyle Dove are teams that will always, when the odds are stacked against them, they'll give it everything, you know, but it's very hard to see. Naas defeated, as I said, Clane so easily. Kyle Dove lost to Maynooth. It was only by a goal. But I mean, it's not only a comfortable win for Naas.
Naas holders, of course. That game is at 4 o'clock, also Nangard plus Hawkfield, and that's preceded at 2:30 by the match between Confey and Selbridge. This could be a bit of a cracker of a game, possibly. Both, I know, have lost games initially, but
yeah, it could be Clem. Both are kind of a little bit under pressure. Leixlip, as I said, I think I've gone back a bit. Confey were very disappointing. Leixlip lost to Confey the last time out. Sorry, 221 to 120.
Yeah. Our
clock lost to Selbridge, you said that. Difficult one to call, Clem, to be quite honest with you. Both of them have gone back a bit. But maybe Leixlip might win it, but it's not a game I'd be predicting a whole lot about, to be quite honest with you. And I certainly wouldn't be putting it into any betting GA accumulators or something like that over the weekend.
All right, we'll have updates from both those games tomorrow. Naas against Kyle Dove at 4 o'clock, preceded by Confey against Selbridge at 2:30. On Sportsbeat Saturday from 2 p.m. with Ben Atkinson, Ross Lindsay, and our reporter at those matches tomorrow is Seamus Dillon. There are three Senior B Hurling Championship games tomorrow as well. Selbridge against Moorfield at 12, Aero Corracreel against Kilcock at 1 o'clock, and Naas play Sarsfields at 5:30. Those three games on the various pitches in Hawkfield as well, so a busy day. Tommy, have a good weekend, and thank you for joining us again.
And you, Clem, thank you.